You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
At 32, Kevin Gaskell was appointed head of Porsche, and 5 years later, he turned around the company. Then he became managing director of BMW in 1996 and grew its profits by 500% over 4 years. Now he's chairman of several emerging enterprises and is a business coach and consultant. We talked to him about corporate turnarounds and change management. Kevin, welcome to the show. What do you do to revive Porsche when you joined them in 1987?
The first thing about turning around Porsche was to reset the vision, to rebuild the belief in the team that this could be done. I mean, we'd fallen so far. Our sales were down by 90%. That's 90%. And we had 3 years inventory. We had 3 years sales worth of cars sitting around. And people had lost confidence. So the first issue was not around the products at all. The market had got very tough. And we went back to the basics of what is Porsche? What is it all about? What is the brand? And we talked about the heritage, we talked about the quality, we talked about the integrity. And we reset our belief that we were building a great brand. And we involved everybody in it. Everybody in the team was involved in supporting that rebuilding towards this vision that we created.
And what led to the situation where they had 3 years of inventory sitting in the warehouse?
The market economy turned down very quickly. Porsche had, unfortunately, at that point, lost sight of its product plan, and our products were getting older. And our customers, our typical customers, are self-employed, they're entrepreneurial. They buy a car like a Porsche as a gift to themselves, something they could enjoy every day, and their businesses were taking a tough time as well. And then the press turned against us, and the press made it very unpopular to drive a Porsche. And all in all, people just stopped buying the cars.
So did you have to deal with productivity issues as well, a legacy workforce, you know, used to a certain way of doing things?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, the business had been hugely successful and was not used to anything other than positive news. And so it was a big surprise for people, or some people, that we found ourselves in this position. I think I'd been in the business for 5 years at that point, and really you could see it coming. The numbers were telling us that we were going to hit the wall, but people weren't reacting quickly enough.
So how do you get the workforce up to speed?
You'd be honest with them. You'd be very honest with people. I promised the team that they would hear all of the news from me before they read it in the press. I mean, we were front page of the press. The fact that we were struggling was written all over the newspapers. And I promised the team they would hear it from me first. They would hear the good news and the bad news, and I would keep no secrets. So I spent a lot of my time, I mean a huge amount of my time, communicating with the team. We built a plan. We took 2 weeks to build a plan, which when I look back now, I can't believe we did it so quickly. But we didn't have any time. So we took 2 weeks. We rebuilt the plan, where we were going, how we were going to get there, which parts of the business we were going to change. And we kept the team involved all the way through. And I would just stand in front of the company, tell them what was going on, and answer any questions, but explain again that we were going to rebuild this dream, that we were going to create something that was extraordinary, and we would build it with the team who were in the company.
Did you work with consultants on the plan?
No, it was all our own team. We brought in nobody from outside. I mean, we knew what the answers were. This was not a difficult decision to make. The trick was to actually do the work. So we did it ourselves. We locked ourselves away for a couple of weeks. We came back with a clear plan. In the Porsche process, A, we didn't have any money to pay consultants. You know, we were bust. The money was all gone. But B, this was not a complex analysis process. We knew what we needed to do. The issue was planning and then making sure we did what we were supposed to be doing.
And so what was it that you did to rebuild the business? Was it cost-cutting, very stringent cost-cutting measures?
Yes, there was a lot of cost-cutting. We took out 50% of the staff in 1 week, which was very challenging. We reorganized the company. We made it much simpler to deal with. We broke down 13 operating divisions into 7. We promoted some very bright, capable people and gave them a huge range of responsibility, but with clear objectives and with clear support to make it happen. We communicated strongly to our distribution network, to our suppliers, to the press. We told everybody what we were doing. We made it very visible. We are going to reorganize this company, and we're going to create something that's special. We're going to make it special again, and here are the steps. Here's where we're going. So it was a very visible plan. It was painted on the wall in big letters. It was really, we made it as simple as possible. And I believe that's the key to any turnaround. Make it simple. Let people understand how they can help you to make the change.
And in 1996, you joined BMW, and during your tenure there, you helped grow its profits by about 500%. So what was your plan to, what do you do to grow the business?
Well, you know, BMW was a different kind of challenge. At Porsche, I've just spent 5 years at Porsche, where we've gone from being bust to being the UK's most profitable car company. We've gone from number 31 out of 31, i.e. the bottom of the dealer and customer satisfaction list, to be number one. And we've done all of that with a lot of belief and a lot of passion. And I joined BMW, where it was a different kind of challenge. BMW invited me in, and BMW was very comfortable. You know, they were performing very nicely. The brand was a top 10 world brand, very, very nice cars. And effectively, my brief was, you know, don't upset the apple cart. You know, we're doing okay here, Kev. We'd love you to come in and help us to grow a bit further, but whatever you do, don't upset it, because it's going quite nicely. But when I looked at it, what was clear was we had a series of problems. The growth that was planned was only about 4% per annum. The team were very comfortable and had been very comfortable for a long time. The dealers were very comfortable and also had been comfortable and profitable for a long time. And the market was changing. And what struck me was that we weren't geared up for the fight. We weren't ready to drive ourselves onto that next level of performance. You know, we were terribly comfortable, and actually, I didn't see the excitement. I didn't see the drive, the push. I didn't see the fear that you need in a business if you're going to really understand that the market's changing. Because BMW customers are very attractive to a lot of brands. You know, they're typically wealthy, they are powerful people, they are influential people, they will buy nice cars and then they'll buy another nice car. And so they're very attractive. And what was happening at the time was that other brands were really pushing into the market. So we were seeing Audi and Jaguar and Toyota and Lexus and a range of other brands targeting the BMW driver. And I knew we needed to lift this business upper level if we were going to really make the progress we should have made. So we looked at some of the basics in the business, and I asked questions about our diesel strategy. Oh no, we don't have diesel. Why don't we have diesel? Well, we're BMW and we don't do diesel. Well, actually, that's not true, is it? Because if I look around the world, BMW did have diesel cars, but we weren't bringing them to the UK. But hang on.
And why was that the case? Was it considered lower standard?
Well, there was a perception within BMW GB that diesel was noisy and smelly, and we didn't do it because we were a performance brand. But, you know, when you look outside, the market was moving towards diesel cars. So we challenged ourselves to say, we should have diesel. We can reposition diesel for BMW as a performance option. And so we did that. We brought in the first diesel cars. But we positioned them in a way with some humorous communication, humorous adverts that said, this might be diesel, but it's still a performance car. I remember we ran one ad campaign that said, it showed a picture of a BMW 5 Series with sticky bits of paper on it that just said, diesel, 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 diesel. And the headline said, in case you forget what this 140 mile per hour performance car runs on. So we were making the point that diesel was acceptable, that diesel was an attractive drivetrain option. So that was just diesel. We looked at the corporate market and recognized that whilst we were selling 50% of our cars to corporate buyers one way or another, we didn't have a corporate sales division. Why don't we have a corporate sales division? Oh, we're BMW, we sell on the one-to-one. Well, that's fine, guys, but let's change the way that the world experiences one-on-one corporate sales. So we went out and built the best corporate sales division in the world. So we looked at these major opportunities. We looked at the products we were bringing to market. We looked at the dealer network and realized the dealer network was getting old and tired, so we had to refresh it. So we spoke to a number of our distributors and said, here's where we're going. This is the vision of our business 3 and 5 years from now. If you want to be part of that, that's great, but here's what you'll have to do. Here's your investment program. And some of it is in facilities, some of it is in people, some of it is in processes. But this is what you'll have to do. But you've been with us for 30 years. And if you don't want to go to that next level, then we will find somebody today who will come and help you to sell your business on. And we'll support it, and we'll make it profitable for you to sell. And if that's what you want to do, then that's absolutely fine. We'll thank you for the service you've given us, but we need to move on now. And the message we used was, the train is leaving the station. You have a seat on it if you want it, but the price of the ticket is this. If you don't want it, then that's great. We thank you for everything you've done, but now we're moving on. So we're very honest with people. Again, communication, communication, communication. Actually making it clear to people, we're going to change this business. Well, I would use the analogy of a football team. You know, we might have won the league this year, but everybody else wants to win it next year. And if we just stay still, if we don't improve our squad, if we don't train better, train faster, improve our play, people will catch us and they will pass us. And not everybody makes it great. You know, some people got very uncomfortable. We lost some dealers. We lost some members of the BMW team who said, no, I've been very comfortable. I don't want to change, thank you. And at that point, you know, we thanked them and wished them goodbye. But it was not an option. It was about getting people excited, about painting a picture of how this business could be. You know, imagine how it would feel if we were doing this, if we had that, if we were doing it differently. And get people excited. You know, you can't drag good work out of people. You have to get people to want to give. You don't take people's best work, they give it. And the trick was to create the culture, create the environment where people wanted to give their best work. And what we do is we build a business plan. We make that business plan very simple. It's typically one sheet of paper. And the one sheet of paper breaks down into various boxes. And we'll have a box for marketing, we'll have a box for people development, we'll have a box for product development, we'll have a box for distribution. And then underneath that, each of those boxes, we have a series of objectives. Here's what we're going to do for distribution. And then the people who are responsible for that are invited to discuss it. We talk about it very openly, and we listen, do a lot of listening to the team, giving them the opportunity to feel that they are going to help to transform this business.
So is leadership a democracy?
It's not a democracy. Leadership is about painting the vision of where we're going. It's about creating that belief and that culture. People are free to contribute and be creative, but only towards that vision. You can be as creative as you like, but that's where we're going. And if you can help me to get there faster, then you can be as creative and constructive as you like. If you want to go in a different direction, then we won't accept that. That doesn't work. So it's a democracy, as in I want everybody to give their best energy, their best creativity, their best efforts to transforming the business. But we transform to that vision there that we've discussed, that we've agreed on, and then we know what it looks like.
Proton, our national car in Malaysia, is trying to gain a foothold in the international car market, but it's still far behind the likes of Hyundai from South Korea. And this despite the help of Japanese car makers in Malaysia and tremendous government and domestic market support. So what does it take to become an international auto brand, or you know, a brand that comes from an emerging market and it wants to become a market leader? What should it do?
In this day and age when car competition is so extreme, and there are so many new entrants, you know, you have China and India, Brazil, massive countries now bringing new products to market, you have to be distinctive. You have to have a brand which says something about yourself. What am I? why would I drive a Proton, or why would I drive a Toyota, or why would I drive a Honda, why would I drive a BMW? What is it? What of the brand am I buying into? Why would I associate myself with that? And is it luxury? Is it price? Is it performance? Is it distinctive styling? Is it the lifestyle experience? What is it that I'm selling? Because the car alone is not enough anymore. There are almost no such thing as a bad car in the world. You know, technology has moved on a long way, and cars last a long time, and they run very well, and they're efficient. So what else am I buying? What is it that you believe about your brand, about your brand values, that separate you from the pack? And that's what we communicate. That's what we appeal with. Because just building a Me Too, I'm not suggesting Proton do, but just building a Me Too is no good. It doesn't work any longer. Unless you're incredibly low price or something else. But you've got to be distinctive. We have Proton cars. I've seen Proton cars in the marketplace. I've never visited the factory. But I couldn't tell you now why Proton is distinctive. So in my mind, that really is a weakness. They've made investments overseas, and some of those work well, and some haven't worked so well. But you've got to be distinctive. What would I say to the executives? I'd say, let's sit down and talk about this brand. Let's sit down and you explain to me and get me excited and get me enthused about what this brand means. Because that's the distinction. That's the difference. That's what you need if you're going to appeal to people. You can be a national car brand, and in your home market you can be very successful. But eventually, just like in the UK, just like Rover, just like Triumph, you need all the efficiencies of a major manufacturer. Yes, of course you do. But if you're not distinctive, eventually you will lose out to the market. So what can I do? How can I make my brand different, exciting, funky, attractive, alternative, something? And it's about personality.
Thank you for your time and all the best. Kevin Gaskell, business consultant and former managing director of Porsche and BMW in the UK. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, the business station.